Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Again, I've mentioned so many times about Rachel and Leah. And we find that the desire was for Rachel. He ends up getting Leah first. And then he finds another 7 years to get the one that he truly wanted, which was Rachel. And this has to do with a true Jew and a spirit Jew. The spirit Jew being the true Jew and then a natural Jew. And those two are allegory there of the elect of God as we being the born again spiritual elect. Showing the Rachel things is that's what he desired. But you see, first came to the Jew. There's been 7 years set aside of tribulation. The 490 years that were appointed unto the people. When we talk about the vision of Daniel, the 70 weeks, well, that's 490 years through prophetic utterances. And when you find that this 490 years were appointed to the people, well, 483 of those years were fulfilled at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is when we go over into the book of Revelations again, and it said the angel stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and said that time would be no more. Well, with that is a stopping of time. And even though that we in the spirit are not creatures of time, but then yet we see time because man's numbered time, so they see time going. But that 483 stopped and that 7 years is set aside, which is the tribulation period. And when it comes back together, there was a dispensation of grace in between the 483 and the other 7 years. There's the dispensation of grace, which is called the church ages. And this church ages is laying right in the middle of that. And when this church goes out, these church ages, when it goes out of the way and this 7 years comes back, it'll be the fulfillment of time. And that's when time shall be no more at the end. It is no more at the end of the 483, except for the seven to come back in. But we in the church ages are not under the element of time. Even though we see, brothers and sisters, a body that's aging, we still see the sun going, or the moon. We see the cycle of the moon and the cycle of the earth going around its orbit. And this, again, when we think this has to do with seasons and times. But when you understand the Word of God, it's talking about we that are born of God or we that are in the Spirit. We're in season, out of season, because there is no seasons in the spirit. So we differentiate between the spirit world and the natural world. And to answer a question is, you say, what would this have to do? Well, there is a dispute, brothers and sisters, over the land, this earthen vessel. And the thing is when we would think of a Palestinian rule showing the anti-type, there is a natural, carnal, fleshly mind of human reasoning that is trying to take and rule over this earthen vessel and take and control it and run it. But then yet there is another spirit, we say that quickening spirit, that spirit of Christ, that has to manifest. You see, God the Father being the invisible things of the Spirit according to the Bible. The Bible teaches us very clear that no man has ever seen the Father. And we understand that when we start looking into the spiritual perspectives, it's the invisible world. The invisible world is not comprehended or understood unless it's in something that has appeared when we're dealing with humanity or mankind. So we find that it was necessary that Jesus Christ, that he came to earth both being Son of Man and Son of God, made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. But when Jesus came to earth, he brought the invisible attributes of the Spirit, the Father, into a point of manifestation in the world that people could comprehend and understand God. Now the thing is that he was the firstborn of many brethren, and we are birthed into the Spirit of God, into the kingdom of God, by being born again into the Spirit. Amen. So when we're birthed into the Spirit being the invisible things, we bring those attributes of the God, the same God, the Bible says, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall dwell within your mortal bodies. And it will change you in that moment in the twinkling of an eye from mortal into immortality. Or again, the Bible would say the telestial to celestial. So when we find that this invisible manifestation coming forth in the visible attribute or in the visible part of man to bring the invisible attributes of God into a manifestation in the earth that others could see, comprehend, and know God. Amen. That's the only way. As Brother Wayne, when he was up here, he said, "You are the only Jesus that some people will see." You know, the whole world is yearning and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, brothers and sisters, when we differentiate that statement, I've said this before, if we're going to differentiate that and bring it into you as an individual, we break it down to body, soul, spirit. And when we look at your natural beast part of you, the natural fleshly part of you, it is the worldly thing Again, it still goes along with their question. That's that worldly part, the earthen vessel. And it's yearning and longing, the world, this outer garment of iniquity, this flesh that's aging, this flesh that's on a corruptible course. It's yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. And that's when that spirit comes up and swallows it up. Amen. And it overtakes that, and we find that it's Christ living and dwelling within our tabernacle. Amen. And there again, when we speak like this, we got to understand the difference between the tabernacle and the temple and the testimony. And when we start understanding and differentiation once again of these three things, again having to do with the body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and we start differentiating in this, then we start understanding and comprehending the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word. Now, because many people, they would reject this kind of a teaching because they haven't been indoctrinated in dimensional projection. And they will never understand this Bible right here. They could take and read the Bible, and they'll just skip over many things, and they'll have a void of understanding there, and they won't understand it, and they think, well, it's just not for me, or not for this day, or whatever. But you see, it is for us. Every bit of this Word of God is for us. And we need to get our eyes opened up, and many times we've got to get the shucks removed from our eyes that we can see good when good comes and comprehend, again, His Word of God. So when we look at this and we find that naturally speaking, we find a time, it looks to me like you would think, well, it looks like the Israelites are losing some control there of some of their land. And would you say that's not a good thing? When we see something, as when we look at it again in the allegory, we would find that this dispute has been going for a long time for these land masses, when we think of Ishmael and Isaac, and we find that these disputes have come down through generations and generations, and we find that here it is laying right there within the country of Israel, and we find that they've given some control over to the Palestinians. And what this Ariel Sharon believes that he's going to do is try to make peace with these people, and it'll never happen. It will never happen that way. Amen. They could say, well, we'll appease them, we'll do this over, and we'll give them that, but they'll never be satisfied until they have full control of the city of Jerusalem, because that's what they're seeking after. And it has to do with Satan climbing up another way in this day and in this hour. You see, Satan isn't satisfied, brothers and sisters. He is like when we think of lust and the spirit of lust, their strong desire for more and more and more. And the thing is Satan, when he infiltrates your senses or your thoughts, or he comes into a place of oppression in your mind or depression in your spirit, what he does, brothers and sisters, is he's not satisfied. You know, when you find a man that's given over to spirits, he's never satisfied. If you want to talk about the strong desires of lust, a man for a woman or a woman for a man, then go out and get many men or many women, and there's never a satisfaction. There's a drive within them. They're never satisfied because it's a demonic spirit. A man that gets bound in drugs, you see, there's not never enough. He can't get that needle in his arm enough or the snort up his nose. There's never satisfaction. And when it comes to appetite and obesity, there's never satisfaction. You eat and eat and you think, okay, I satisfied that thing. And it starts screaming immediately again. Sometimes you eat so much that you're so full. Then you think, oh, I couldn't eat another bite. And the ice cream thing's screaming at you before you get two blocks down the street. I see some smiles because we've all dealt with that old devil. Amen. I heard a preacher once say, he said, you know what? You know, a lot of these devils that people carry, they could hide them. You know, they could hide this a little bit and hide that, and they will manifest. I'm telling you, if it's, you think, well, I got this spirit of anger hid out, well, I got him hid real good, it'll manifest. You just hang out and you watch, you'll see that thing flare up and you'll see it manifest. But one thing that's hard to hide is a spirit of obesity. Amen. I'm standing behind this sacred desk right now so I could say, hey, you know, I could preach pretty good till I step out from behind here. Amen. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, you know, they're spirits, and this is what we have to understand. We have to understand spirits and the way they take and utilize this body. Spirits are invisible. You can't see them. You won't know them. You won't understand them. Their attributes are nothing about them. God is an invisible God. You'll never know God and you'll never see God. Except as again, like Brother Wayne said, the only Jesus that people will see in this day and hour is the Jesus that's living and dwelling in you. Because if this Jesus is not manifesting within his body, you know, the church is considered the body of God, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing is if this church is the manifestation of the body of God, and if we're not doing something, then God's not doing something. You see, because he is utilizing we as the members of God to do something in the earth. This is important, brothers and sisters. Look what he done through one, Jesus Christ. And a whole world was affected forever and ever and ever from one. So, you know, the thing is it's a small flock. There's not many Christians in America. I know that we think, well, the churches have got mass numbers and us, and us. But no, there's not many Christians in America. America is full of religious people. But to find a true, born-again, spirit-filled Christian is something that's getting hard to find. And that might be offensive to some, and I don't mean to be. But the Bible said, small flock and few be there that find it. And it's a straight and narrow way, and it's on that street called straight, but it's a wide, broad path of destruction. And the thing is we know that God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And as we go down through the course of time, and to understand God and the love of God, that we find out there that when Aid got into Noah's Ark, you know, and all the rest of the world was flooded out, that was the love of God. Amen. And when we find it coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, we find four coming out of there, brothers and sisters. And the thing is, that's the love of God. And when they come out of the wilderness, the millions that came out into the wilderness out of Egypt, only two, Caleb and Joshua, then with the rest that was under 20 years of age, came in with them. But all of the other, the millions of elders, were swallowed up out there. You see, we're serving a just God, and he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And brothers and sisters, the church is teaching this great, great mass exodus of all these people. And they're just simply underneath this great, awesome blood of Jesus, and they're all just going to go. I'll tell you, that's not the way it is. And that's not the way the Bible teaches us or the way the Bible shows us. Now, I do know, brothers and sisters, that there was a great innumerable multitude before the throne of God. You know, but when you think of the thousands of years of all of the saints of God, it is going to be a mass number. But let me tell you, coming out of this generation in this end time, according to Bible prophecy and stuff, there's not going to be too many people missed. It's not going to be like a big mass hysteria over the whole world. Like, wow, where do all of these people go? And then you think, well, where are they going to? Where is this heaven that people are talking about going to? Where is this heaven at? Where is this God at? You know, when everybody's got him out on some distant planet somewhere. You know, if I think it's that way, man, I'm going to start supporting NASA just a little bit more. And I'm going to start sending some finances over there, start building some bigger rockets that we could get on. Or I'll be like them other, pardon the expression, I'll just call them yo-yos or whatever you want to call that put on their purple hats and their purple tennis shoes or whatever. And the last time that comet went by and they drank their Kool-Aid, man, because they was going to go get on that thing. You know, I might have been passing some Kool-Aid out if I thought God was out there somewhere on some distant planet. But it's not that way, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, people give their life seeking after and looking for God. Amen. And I'm telling you what, when you get born again and you get the infilling of his spirit, you know that he's ever present. He's with you. When two to three come together in his name, he's in the midst, brothers and sisters. I'm not looking for God. I know where he lives and where he dwells. He's dwelling within the human tabernacle. The kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within. He's dwelling on the throne of our heart. Amen. I'm not out looking for him. There is no place that you're going to go off to and find some other distant land. This place right here that you're on is going to go through a metamorphosis and a change because it has to do with what's going to happen to this vessel. I'm not trying to save this old wretched flesh. It's appointed unto you to die. It's already been crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And as the Bible says, it's the saving of the soul. And the soul is in the second heaven in the warfare realm, and it's in a travail, and the spirit is trying to manifest through this soul because the soul is the mediator part between the spirit and the natural. So if we reckon the natural part to be dead and we bring the mediation in the soul realm to bring the marriage together between those two, that's when it goes through the metamorphosis or the change, or the Bible says the transfiguration of the body. Now these things are not hard to understand and comprehend when you get indoctrinated in differentiation of God. I'm going to read some scripture here and we'll go on and possibly help you to understand a little bit more in what we might say of a differentiation of God. It says in Ephesians 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Verse 4, it says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and he might fill all things. Amen. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to stop right there. Now, there's many things that we could say here, and I'm going to start out by saying some things that would seem contrary to what we just read. Now, I do know this, that the Bible said that the Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. Well, I've got Bible for flesh, I've got Bible for spirit. So there's people that have given a life of study to find things that would seem to be and appear to be contrary written in the Word of God. You see, they are contrary because one is directed to the flesh or the Jew, and the other one's directed to the Spirit, or we could say the Christ, the differentiation between those two. Now, when we look here, and I'll start out right here in the verse 5 where it says one baptism. Now, the thing is that we say one baptism, so we settle it and we say that's the Bible and it's said and done, one baptism. But then yet we find in the scriptures we have a baptism of blood, we have a baptism of water, we have a baptism of spirit, and we have a baptism of fire. Now the thing is when we start differentiating now, but there's still one baptism according to the scriptures. If I teach these others and differentiate in this, then I would say that I'm teaching contrary to the Word of God. But see, it's in the Word of God. Now when we read right here, we say, but we have one God. One Lord, one faith. Now when we say one God, but then yet I say there is one God, but then I say Father, and I say Word, and I say Holy Ghost. Now see, many people again make that into three gods. And that comes through Catholicism. It came in the Nicene Council in like 320 something AD. Actually, it was a church father. I mentioned his name the other day, Tertullian. It started a Trinitarian doctrine in 100 AD. Like 115 or something. But it came in and was established where they pulled all the priests together and they pulled them all together and they established a doctrine in 321. And when they pulled them all together, I can't remember how many thousands, but this is when they made it where the priests could not marry at this particular time. And this is when the dispute was over these three, and it was over matter, which has to do with solids, gases, and liquids. And they come in to say that they were all of the same matter. Okay, and the thing is this is where they got into teaching of what we call a Trinitarian doctrine. And when we say Trinity, it's not a biblical word. I teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And I know if I've turned you over to 1 John into the 5th chapter, it talks about the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost are the heavenly witness. And it said that these three are one. And then it talks about the water, blood, and spirit. And it said these three agree in one. Now the thing is that we need to understand these things, because when we get to the understanding of these revelational truths, it gets us established that we're not tossed to and fro and moved by every wind of doctrine. Because again, as I've said so oftentimes, there's many Protestant people that call themselves Protestant, means they protested against Catholicism or the Catholic Church, but they continue on teaching Catholic doctrine. Amen. But when we get our eyes open to the truth and the light, we come out of that. We come out of any doctrine that isn't of God. The Bible said if we preach any other doctrine that isn't of the Lord Jesus Christ that he preached, it said, let us be accursed. So this is why we have to get grounded in the Word. There's many times that people, that's not imputed to them as sin because they have no knowledge of it, because they haven't had their eyes open to it. But once we get our eyes open to it, it doesn't make where we came from all bad. It made it as a stepping stone as we grew, like through elementary school or whatever. If I'm teaching college, I cannot go back to the sixth grade and find a satisfaction, because I've already come to that level and it's time to progress on in the things of God. So when we look here and we see one baptism, but we know the scripture's speaking about the water, blood, and spirit. Now the thing is, but they said that these three agree in one. And when it talks about the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, said these three are one. Now, Many times when we start differentiating, I take people to an understanding knowing that the Bible teaches the saving of the body, soul, and spirit. And when we think of this, and we look at you, and we know that if I took each and every one of you, I would have to say that you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, but then yet, when I look at you, I say that you are one. Now, the Bible teaches this. Now, the Bible says that if you take the spirit out of the body, what does it say? That this individual's dead. To be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord. Now, there's a differentiation also in that teaching, because we step everything into the Spirit when we teach, because we're supposed to speak by the Spirit and teach by the Spirit. But when we're talking in the perspective of a revelation or a mystery, then we've got to bring these things into a comprehension and understanding to you, that you could comprehend and understand God's Word. Amen? So when we would think of a body, soul, spirit, and I would say each and every one of you have a body, soul, spirit, but I can't say you are three persons. That would be a mistake. And this is the mistake that came through Catholicism. You see, when I talk about Trinity, we'll use that word. It's not a biblical word, but the whole church world uses it as it's some kind of a mandate or something that you must believe in if you're going to have salvation. I can't tell people they got to believe in something that's not in the Bible. Okay, I do teach you that you need to understand and believe in the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And these three are one. But if these three are one, I cannot ever use a term to identify them as three persons. Because then I'm getting into error of the Scriptures. The Bible very clearly says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was the fullness. This is Bible now. Jesus, when we go into Emmanuel, the interpretation is God with us. Jesus Christ is God. Well, you say, but Brother Rob, the Bible says he's the Son of God. Okay, so now we're going to start differentiating, okay? Because I'm going to stand here before you and tell you something, and this might make some of you want to hit the door, but I'm a Son of God. Amen. The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. Amen? But it goes on to say that you die like mere men from a lack of knowledge. You see? Now, the thing is that I have to differentiate in my life. I was born as a man. My father's hooked up with us tonight on the telephone here and listening to us. He is my natural father. And it was from his loins into my mother's womb that I was conceived into iniquity into this world with the sins of death. And it was appointed on me to once to die. I'm speaking now as a man, that being my father. And I say, oh, wretched man that I am. You see, this is the man's part speaking. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, I was born as a sinner with a sentence of death from the day I took my first breath. When my mother looked at me in a little tiny child there, I was born into iniquity and sin with a sentence of death. And I was already, from the point of the first breath, was on a death march back to corruption and back into the dust of this world. No matter how beautiful the child may seem or how innocent it may be, that curse of death was laying there within the members of that flesh. It's something that we have to understand. But praise God, because of the born again experience, or the born again in the Spirit. And you see, He saved us before the world ever was. And there was the Spirit. Now we're differentiating between that natural, and then there's a Spirit of life that's dwelling there within that body. Now when we bring in this other, and we think of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God. Now we have a human spirit there dwelling within this body of your body, soul, and spirit. And we're inviting in this godly Spirit of Christ. And when this Christ Spirit comes in, there is a marriage that takes place. And when this marriage takes place, the Bible says they become one. There's many things that would take me hours tonight. I know for sure I won't be able to keep you long enough for the things that it would take me to have differentiation here to bring out all the things that we've read here this evening. But as we're reading here, and it said that the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints. But there again, we've got to differentiate. Why would God send a fivefold ministry in to do something that He's already done? But because the Bible said that He has perfected us once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. This is a great dispute between the Assembly of God and the Church of God over many years. And one says, well, sanctification comes instantaneously at birth. And then the other one's saying, oh, no, this is something that we've got to transformate into or progress. progress into through sanctification. And they're both exactly right. And you see, but this is what the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ does. It brings us into the revelation of God's Word, and then we're not moved by the different doctrines. See, I'm not separated from either one of them because they're both right, and I could differentiate by the mind of God and the spirit of revelation, when he said, pray that God would grant the spirit of revelation to you. So I say that they're both right, because the thing is he did perfect us once and for all by the works of Christ, and that's in the spirit. But the fivefold ministry is to brought forth to bring the invisible things of the invisible world of God, and to bring these spirits of perfection into a manifestation in your outer garment of iniquity or in your mortal brain. And that's bringing the manifestation or the attributes of this loving God manifested that the people of this world can see. They won't see when good comes, but the only thing they see is with their eyes. You see, this is why people want to talk about the love of God to people, but they don't see it in their life. They don't see it in their actions or the attributes, and they turn people off. You see, and this is what the ministry, the fivefold ministry, sent to bring them into a place, brothers and sisters, of perfection, that they could be utilized for the service of God, is what it says right here. So there again, as we start differentiating here, and we find out that you was born as a natural man, we find out that there is a spirit man dwelling up within there, and there is a dispute for the body of a manifestation. Back to her question. There's a dispute there for Israel. This dispute's going to lay there until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up rule there. There is going to be a dispute for this body until you bring Jesus Christ in. The Bible said, speaking of the kingdoms of this world, let the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, that He could rule forevermore. Now, many times when people read that scripture, they're thinking about Jesus ruling this kingdom out here. But that's going to be His place. He is the guy that's going to come back and set up reign here. I have no business getting entangled in the affairs of this world. I am not of this world. The Bible says that I am an ambassador for Christ Jesus. I'm not of this world. I am not an American. I am not a Filipino. I am not an African. I am a blood-bought, born-again Christian. I'm from another world, brothers and sisters. This is not my world. The President of the United States is not my president. Jesus Christ is my King, and He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is my God, my salvation, and my Savior. Now, the thing is, that would sound like a contrary statement to you, but the thing is, I'm differentiating, brothers and sisters. As a natural man, I've got to come in and conform to the laws of America, and I've got to, there's certain things as an American citizen that I've got to line up and walk in. And I will, as a Christian, to keep my testimony right between God and man, I will walk according to the laws of this land to keep them in obedience to God until they bring me to a point that I would go contrary to the laws of God. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king said, hey, you must bow down at this certain time and do this, that. And they would bow to no other God, and God preserved them. And this is what's going to come to the saints of America, is because the laws of this land are deteriorating, and the moral standards of this country are falling away so bad that we as the Christians are going to have to make a stand at some point of time or another. The thing is, just like in the country of Canada, if you go into Canada and preach against sodomy, then they will take, and it's called a hate crime, and they will arrest you, and they will put you out. And that's what they will do to you. And that's on its way to America. I'm telling you, it's the things that they're trying to do. But we've got to continue to stand and preach God's Word, because that's what we're called to do. Now, brothers and sisters, as we're looking here into the Word and we're trying to bring you into a thought, you see, the thing is I could say a lot of things and it would be absolutely impossible for you to grab onto these things and just categorize them in some kind of an intellectual perspective. But the thing is, I'm praying and I'm ministering God's Word that you'll receive the Spirit of God's Word, that you will grab parts of these things, but you'll start thinking in the mind of Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought of not robbery to be equal with God. And the thing is, that draws people up. But let me tell you, the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Him. He said He's given us everything that pertains unto life. Amen. We become married unto Him. You see, Jesus being the husband, according to the Bible, and we become married unto Him. And through this marriage, and we inherited all things with Him. Do you realize it doesn't matter how poor my wife raised up? It doesn't matter what, if they didn't even have a home or a place to lay their head. It don't matter if she rambled around through all the wildernesses of America. But the thing is if I was a king, amen, and I had all of the royalty and all of the riches and owned all of the lands of this country, and she married unto me, be she come equal through the marriage. You see what Jesus done for us, brothers and sisters? He gave us everything. Everything that pertains on life. I did not earn this. I did not earn it through Bible study. I didn't earn it by going to some theological institution of America or by being sitting under some denomination or something of some great thing. It's simply by the grace of a living God. Amen. And the thing is what we need to do is we need to learn to let Jesus Christ be the high priest of our confession. And our confession needs to be in what He's done for us. And we not to be ashamed to shout it from the rooftops, amen, of what God has given us and what He's done for us. Amen. We should not be ashamed to speak His word. Amen. And tell people what He's done for us. He says that we've passed from death unto life. People are afraid to speak like that. I say, you're looking at a man that cannot die. I passed from death unto life. Death has been abolished. It was the last enemy of God. I like the old elderly saint of God, the Christian woman that came here. She's gone on with the Lord now, but she was, I guess, up in her 80s or something, or close to 90 years old, and I'm preaching like that. And she said, boy, he's got a sad day coming to him. He's going to have one rude awakening. But see, she don't understand. Sat in churches for almost 90 years of her life in churches and did not understand God's word. I'm not condemning the sister to hell. I'm just saying it's sad to say that she is so ignorant, I'll use the term, to not hear God's word. The Bible said, his sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. And she followed after strange doctrine, brothers and sisters. But what Jesus Christ said is true, amen. And when he said the last enemy was death, and that death is abolished, brothers and sisters, I believe that, amen. Because the Bible talks about the saints of God and the forefathers in this work, and it said that they went on to sleep, amen. And the thing is the reason they went to sleep, and when he called in before Talitha, and Jesus said, oh no, she's not dead, she's just asleep. And they mocked him, and it grieved him so bad that it upset Jesus, and he pushed them out. Do you think he was a liar? No, Jesus isn't a liar. He knew what he was talking about. Yes, to them, in their mind, she was dead. She had no breath in her lungs. And the same thing happened when they come up and Mary met him there. He said, but he's been in the grave for 4 days, speaking of Lazarus. He's been in the ground for 4 days. He stinks by now. But he said, oh no, he's just asleep. But they pressed him. They kept pressing Jesus. He said, okay, so be it, he's dead. But Jesus wasn't a man to change his mind. He was just speaking to them and saying, so be it. You know, whatever you think, but this is what I'm the resurrection. Amen. Because they asked him about the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Amen. This is who we are, brothers and sisters. We are the children of the resurrection. And our confession starts to need to be positive and in Christ. You don't need to be ashamed of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to start speaking to people, and not in a way of bringing things to you, but you need to be talking about what Jesus done for you. Amen. And let them know, hey, as a man, I no longer live. He's gone. Don't look at me. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. But I'm talking about that inner quickening spirit of a living God dwelling down in me. It's eternal in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And it's been married unto this part, and it's been changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. And the thing is the world don't see that yet. It's already happened. We're the purchased possession. Everything has happened, brothers and sisters. We're not waiting on nothing as the sons of God. Absolutely nothing. It's the world that's longing and waiting. I'm just manifesting in this vessel and being in the earth just as Jesus was, going about the Father's business. That's what the Bible says we'll do. We'll be about the Father's business. We need to be about the business of God, the Father, and be about the business as the sons of God in the earth, going forth to win souls. Amen. Amen. That's what our calling is. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's no different. Boy, people, they just have troubles with the Word of God. It's very difficult when you're ministering the Word and you got people that lock up with you, man. But you know, this is God's Word. Somebody show me if Brother Rob has trespassed anywhere what is written in his Bible tonight. I'm just talking about the Word of God. This is life. This is salvation. This is power. This is hope. This is everything that we got. I can't deviate from this. I got to stay with what is written right here. And I have not, by the grace of God, crossed it up anywhere this evening. I'm speaking God's word. But people are afraid to believe in God's word. They're afraid to believe in what He has done for them. Amen. But I'm not afraid to shout it from the mountaintops. Amen. Hallelujah. We're eternal. We're living forever. Jesus finished it. He said, he hung his cross on Calvary. He said, it's finished. It's finished, he said. It's finished. What more can he do for you? He shed his blood. What more can he do? He cannot do nothing more for you. Nothing whatsoever. Amen. Because he's given you everything. Hallelujah. Walk like a child of God. Start believing his word. Amen. Start believing what he's given to you. And let him be the high priest of your confession. Learn to differentiate between their natural carnal man and those carnal thoughts and cast them down. The Bible said, casting down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself before the knowledge of God, cast those thoughts down. And when you find that Satan is the accuser of the brother and you find accusing thoughts come into your mind saying, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you know, you're no good and you're this thing. You say, shut up, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar and you're the father of all lies. I believe in the word. I believe in the Bible. He reached down to the uttermost and he reached down and he redeemed me and he saved me and he filled me with his spirit. He purchased me. He engraved my name in his hands with the nail prints. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you, you know, I challenge people on the waves of radio. I challenge people continually on the messages that are being mailed out and sent out. I tell people on a continuous basis, I say, listen, come with the word of God. I said, if you think, Brother Rob, I've got the word. I'm called in defense of the word. I'm not lined up with the denominational teachings of America. It's the Laodicean Day Church. The American church, the Satan, the Bible says the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. That's what the Bible says now. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, and I know that this is going to just sound so terrible bad, but I'm telling you, Satan has climbed up into the upper echelon according to the scriptures and the upper lintels, according to the word of God. Now, I could differentiate that and talk about your life, but I could also speak about it as a global perspective and talk about it globally speaking. And the thing is that we got to stay with sound doctrine and with the Bible. And when you see something that's given to change, the Bible says, woe unto them given to change. And when you see people that are changing for times and seasons and changing the word and the scriptures and things and starting to rewrite Bibles and starting to get these new Bibles because there's too many things that offend them in some of the, like in the King James Bible, and they start rewriting and taking things out. If you would study some of these new Bibles and really go back and find the changes that has been made in some of them, it would probably frighten you. I used to use an NIV Bible, first very young in the ministry and different things. And a lot of the churches when I was with the Assemblies of God, no disrespect them, but when I was with them, a lot of their churches had NIV Bibles in there. And, you know, hey, I'll tell you like this, it was a lot easier for me to read. When I first started coming, I thought it was easier to read. But you know, when I did a study of what that NIV and some of the changes of to the blood of Jesus that have been made in that book, and I can't remember all the different changes. There's literature and things that's available that you can get. And when I read that, man, I'll tell you what, it didn't take me no long. A preacher rebuked me because he invited me to preach in his church, and I came and preached with an NIV Bible, and he rebuked me. He said, brother, don't ever bring that Bible in this church again. He said, if you're going to preach in this church, he said, you're going to use a King James Bible. Well, my first impression of thought was, you know, he's just a little ritualistic. But for respect for him, I thought, but you know what? I owed it to myself that I did a study on it, and I found that preacher was correct and right. And that's the same way I feel in this church. I don't want people bringing other Bibles and other words in here. And the thing is, I haven't studied them all out. There's many of them that's got a lot of change. The Living Bible's got cursing in it. So there's many things that we could say here this evening. I'm going to look for a place to close. I hope I said something to challenge you in the scriptures and the word. Amen. The thing is, brothers and sisters, we're looking to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, the understanding of God. Sometimes you might hear some of these things, think, well, is this necessary? Well, let me tell you something. When I speak to people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I come with the simplistic doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the need and the necessity to be born again. And without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and without the cleansing and washing of the regeneration by the blood and by the Word of God, you have no chance of receiving His Spirit or being born of God. So this is something that you need to seek after. And I could talk about the simplicity of that. I could also talk about the gross errors of that simplistic doctrine throughout the church world when it said that they have some evangelists that make twofold more the child of hell. And there is some teachings that, you know, it's just a simple, we'll say this little prayer and you're saved. But the Bible said it's ye that endure to the end. And the thing is, if it was as simple as just saying this little prayer and that was all it had to do with salvation, God wouldn't have sent fivefold ministers in for perfecting the saints of God. He would not have given us the weapons of the warfare to gird ourselves up and to fight. And he would not have again said that it's ye that endure to the end. And he also wouldn't have said that he gave us the Holy Ghost to conform to the image of God. And we wouldn't have found the great man of God, Brother Paul, making a statement as such, saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" And he went on to say, he said, "The things that I want to do are the very things I find myself not doing. And the very things that I don't want to do are the very things I find myself doing." And I heard a brother call that, he called that the doo-doo chapter, because he said he was doing this and doing that. And the thing is, but I will say this, that Brother Paul was differentiating it between the spirit world of who he was called into and the natural man. And there is a continued warfare and a dispute for your body. And the thing is that whoever you yield your members to is who you are of. You yield your members to flesh, the things of this world, the love of this world, then you are fleshly and carnal. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. And you need to come into the mind of the Spirit, as we spoke about this evening, the mind of Christ, and you need to come into that mind. And when you come into the mind of Jesus Christ, then it will overcome and do away with the carnality of the human reasoning and the mind of man with all of its fleshly knowledge. Amen. As the wife asked the question about what that having to do with, when you see the rockets and all the things going up into space, it has to do with Satan again climbing up another way. When they landed on the moon, it had to do with the nest among the stars, and the space thing out there has to do with that. And the thing is, Jesus Christ having to do with that moon realm, a lot of things we could say there, because Jesus Christ was the one between the spirit world and between man, bringing the mediator between God and man to bring the strength and the power of redemption to this body. So there's, again, a lot of things that we could look at into the allegories world of the things that are taking place, even in the space travels and the things with this Temple One missile that they've shot it right into that comet that was going by here the other day, and they shot it right in for they could understand, they said, the mysteries of the universe by going into the core of this comet. And that's very, very allegoric to the piercing of the side of the Lord Jesus, and also into going up into the heavenlies to get into the intents of God's heart, or into the intent of things, right into the inside of things to understand. And when you get into the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will come to understand the mysteries of the universe, and it won't be mystical to you. You will understand, and you'll know that it wasn't some great big bang that took place out there in space, and that you come from some ape or chimpanzee or monkey or a wiggle tail coming out of a mud hole. Amen. Hallelujah. I know where I came from. But the thing is what we need to do is we need to look in the mirror and understand the beastly image of the first man, Adam, and understand who we are in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And we need to start learning and knowing who we are in God. Amen. Let's sing a song together while we're standing together. Sometimes I say things a little bit rude and crude, just to give you some reason that you could just find fault with me, and that's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. They found fault with Jesus also. They didn't like the way he spoke to them neither. He called them snake vipers and hypocrites. He called them slow bellies and blind leaders of the blind. They didn't like the way he talked neither. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Grove, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.